Hi, everyone. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today and for all that we have experienced here with each other from the early morning until now, and all the things, Lord, that we have been so blessed to share in. You are indeed a God of surprises. You are a God who amazes us, and yet we oftentimes forget that fact, and we pray, Lord, that you would remind us of those things today, who you are, and who has blessed us, and who has given us life. We pray, Lord, that you would encourage our hearts, fill us with anticipation, expectation, and love that only you can give us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you to take a moment and think of a time in your life when you have been surprised, pleasantly surprised. We're going to be talking about pleasant surprises. There are a number of ways we can be surprised in not so pleasant ways. We were going down the turnpike the other day and we were surprised that our timing belt flew off and had to go get towed and everything. That wasn't so nice, but it was surprising. But think a moment for a moment, think of a time in your life when you've been pleasantly surprised. I'd like to give you a little bit of a food for thought while you do that and give you some instances in how God had surprised me this week. In fact, this sermon and the title of it and everything in it is kind of a surprise to me because I wasn't really expecting to talk to you about something on this subject, but on something else. And I was praying on the way down to somewhere on the turnpike, another time when the car worked, and God really did talk to me about the idea of how he had been surprising me in many different ways. I'll give you four examples. First example was I was driving down Oak Tree Road in Edison. There's, if you know the place, there used to be a Pathmark and a shop right there. It's kind of towards Burger King near Wood Avenue. There's a place, I don't like to cut across the traffic to go towards our house because it's so dangerous. So I usually go down to the right and then I make a U-turn. I drive into that parking lot and then I come out and there's this light. You come up to a light and then there's a little island on your left-hand side. And I had always done that. I mean, I had done it many times when I go to the Y and I swim and then I go up there and did that. And this one day, for some reason, I decided to look down at the red light. I looked down to my left, and there were these beautiful flowers that someone had planted there. I mean, it was in the midst of all this asphalt and concrete, and it was a pretty, you know, it's not a great-looking area. You know, it's mostly like that. You know, it's just all hard and gray. And someone had the inspiration to go over there and put some flowers down there, and I looked down, and there they were. And that was a surprise, a pleasant surprise for me. And I can't tell you, it was weird because I'm not really into flowers or anything, but I just looked down there and I started to feel like that was from God. And I felt really inspired and I felt uplifted and I wasn't really the same after that the rest of the day. I was driving down to the prison where I go once a week. And I have a lot of time to think on the way, and sometimes I put on some music, and I decided, because someone I know real well is playing a Beethoven sonata and learning it, and so I decided, well, this might be a good time to listen to the Beethoven sonatas. And I think there's like 32 or 33 of them, I forget how many, but they're considered one of the greatest things ever composed. And even to the extent that one famous composer and conductor said that before he died, there are a number of things on his list that he'd like to do, and one of them was to play through all the Beethoven sonatas again, because they were so important to him. And that was on his list of things to do before he died, near the end of his life. So I started listening to those, and I don't know them, and so every time something comes on, a new one comes on, or a new movement within a sonata comes on, it gives me a sense of surprise, because I'm just like, taken to another world by this music, and you start to think, how could somebody even do that? There's some that make you feel sad. There's some that make you feel inspired and kind of like, you know, marching or something. And there's other ones that that just take your breath away with the beauty that they express. And it just changes again. It just changes you. And I started to think about those that day when I was driving down the highway, when God put that into my mind on how He had used that beautiful music to inspire me and to surprise me in a way, in an unexpected way, to give my day some meaning. The third instance was at a nursing home. There was a guy who was sitting in a wheelchair, and he has trouble talking. He kind of makes a sound, and it's almost a little bit intimidating, because when you see him coming, you know he's going to talk to you, and you're afraid you're not going to be able to understand him. You know, did you ever have an experience where that? And so you sort of feel good to see him, but at the same time you're thinking, oh no, what am I going to say? Well, nice enough guy, you know, he was very nice and he was there, but he just didn't talk very much, but when he did, it was hard to understand him. And so he came over, and Julia and I were standing there, and he came over and I said, this is my daughter, Julia. And so he looked over at her, and he reached out and he grabbed her hand and he kissed it. You know, kind of like in the old days where a guy would kiss the hand, back of the hand of a girl, and it was very cute. You know, he was being cute, and he was also being very friendly, and it made both of us feel so much more relaxed, you know. But here was a guy, you would never expect that from it. Otherwise, you know, he wasn't going to kiss my hand. I know that. He wasn't going to grab my hand and kiss it, but Julia brought this out in the guy, and it just inspired him, and it changed our day. It changed our day at that moment, and I started thinking that that's coming from God. That's a gift from God. It's something that's totally unexpected. It came out of nowhere, and there you go. The fourth instance was I teach voice, and this one day I realized that I had made a bad mistake, and I really felt bad about it because the guy who I had was going to affect by my mistake was a good friend of mine and a Christian. And I realized that I had put him down for a time for his lesson where I couldn't meet with him, actually. I had something else planned, so I had double booked, you know. And you don't know me really that well, I guess, if you don't know this part of me. So let me just tell you that when I do something like that, it becomes very serious for me. You know, and I really regret, and I start to think, you know, not just that I have made a mistake like that, let me call him and just, you know, tell him what happened and stuff like that, but I start to punish myself with feelings of remorse and of how could I have done that, and he's never going to understand that, and you know, I build up all these things in my mind like that, and I've always been that way. I've always been that way. I don't know if there's anybody here like that today, but I've punished myself oftentimes for mistakes that I've made. And you know, I sent an email out to him, and I called his house, and you know, I was really afraid to get the email back from him for some reason. And when he wrote me back, he said, John, no problem, I'll see you the next time. And you know, it may sound weird to you, but the sense of relief and the sense of appreciation for such an act of grace meant an enormous amount to me at that point, to the point where I wrote him back and I said, I love you, man. I'll see you next week. But it was really, really dramatic for me. It was just like this surprise of grace, this feeling of forgiveness and of acceptance and of understanding. And I started to really ponder those things about how often we are worked up and get involved in things, and our minds are taken away from the real grace and the gifts that God gives to us. I'd like to give you another example from someone else. I came across this testimony that I'm going to show to you and read to you online. It's from a really cool website of people that can write in and give a testimony, a witness. It's called Witness HK. I think it's from Hong Kong. HK is Hong Kong, and so these people would write into this, and they would give their witness and share things. And I came across this one I'd like to read to you. Can you put that one up? It's called Can You Hear Him Calling? This person wrote, when I was young, my mother told me that people who want to save lives should become doctors, and those who want to save souls should become pastors. I think that kind of stuck with me throughout childhood. And before I was close to God, I felt guilty for choosing law instead of medicine because of the preconceptions people have about lawyers. When I became a Christian, I felt guilty for being in the entertainment industry instead of the mission fields. The entertainment field is really one of the last places people associate with God. I mean, look at all the songs on radio. They're all about sex, violence, and drugs. Recently, a mentor pointed out to me that Hollywood is a bigger jungle than the Amazon, as it has more traps than the mission fields. Not every Christian is called to be a missionary. He somewhat said, in prayers, you should examine your talents, desires, and the surrounding circumstances which God specifically put you in to determine your destiny at this generation. He gave me a great example, the lead singer of the band One Republic, Ryan Tedder. Instead of joining his family members who were pastors and missionaries, he decided to venture out of Jesus land and as a result wrote 100 U.S. chart toppers. Although One Republic is one of my favorite bands in the world, I never knew Ryan Tedder's history. Hence, I started doing some research on him, and I realized that all my favorite songs for the past 2 years were somewhat written or produced by him. Be it during times of happiness or suffering, those were the songs I and perhaps millions of people listened to. Somehow, the lyrics and music gave me comfort when I needed it most. I was caught by surprise. I started looking into the lyrics of the songs Ryan Tedder wrote or produced, and I found God everywhere relating specifically to me. I realized that God was right there with me, comforting and leading me for the past 2 years, even when I was not seeking Him. It was those moments where your life flashes before you. I saw myself crying on the mid-levels escalator, listening to Kelly Clarkson on my iPod. I remember that I didn't feel like listening to worship songs that day because I felt like God took something precious from me. In my memory, I was on the escalators alone, but this time the vision was different. I saw God's Spirit hovering over me. He was trying to tell me that He will save me, that He's got me when I fall because of His bleeding love for me. I felt peace in my heart, but I didn't know that it was Him. The Bible says in Psalm 6:4, "Return, O Lord, and rescue me. Save me because of Your unfailing love." I had an epiphany. Every single song on my 25 most played list for the past 2 years is part of a love story between me and God. Whenever I am broken, God tries to reach out to me. I heard Him, but I wasn't really listening to Him. I was very encouraged when I read this because I realized that I wasn't the only one that was feeling this way. We all have times when we feel that we're apart from God, and we also have times when we are tired of things the way that they are, perhaps even church. Maybe especially even church. But I'm very encouraged by this testimony because it shows that God uses all kinds of surprises in all kinds of ways that are very unexpected to talk to us and let us know that He loves us. This story, Lee Chan and I were talking about this, and we were looking at this story of Jesus and the woman at the well. And I really don't want to say too much about it. I was happy just to have it read, but I do want to talk a little bit about it. This was one of the passages that I, before God was talking to me about, talking about surprises, that we were reading in the prison Bible study. And this is another sign to me that God really speaks to us. He leads us to the words that He wants us to know, He wants us to spend time on. But most of all, He brings us to Jesus. You know, how is your relationship with Jesus today? How is your relationship with Jesus Christ today? Can you say that you know Jesus as your Savior? Is He someone that you connect with and that you have a relationship with and that you feel is really speaking to you and talking to you? Is He someone who means something to you in a way that you can really not say anything about anyone else. It's just he's so much different from everybody else that you know. This week was a really tough week for me, and I really didn't know what was going on sometimes. And I want to share that with you because I know a lot of people, especially young people, go through times when they feel very alone. When I was a young kid, I was really, really, really lonely. And the church was the only hope that I had. And I probably said that before, but it's even more meaningful to me today. But what happened this week was not so pleasant. And it wasn't that, you know, that God had told me about the surprise. I did feel good about that. But then I went through a period of time in preparation for the sermon and in for other things that I was doing this week. And I had this very, very heavy feeling inside of myself. And I sat down, and the only thing that I could do is take out my Bible and read it. And you know what I came to? Jesus. And Jesus was saying to me, got a lot going on. There's a lot of different things. And it was almost like it came out of nowhere. But there he was. There he was. And he was saying, I need your time. With me. You know, I need your time with me. I know you have a lot of things to do. I even have religious things you have to prepare for and stuff like that. But sorry, but this is what I'm telling you is important right now. And I was so grateful for that. You know, but it was painful because of my resistance and whatever it was that was going on inside of me all that time. But when I met with him, of course you get to this point where you feel like it's hard to be reminded of something, but at the same time it was the only thing that could help me. Because he was the only thing to help me. Jesus. You know? And this woman, this story is an amazing story. You know, I would really encourage you to sit down and read through it and ask God what he would like you to hear from him about this story. But the part that we were really zooming in on at the prison was, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. You know why we were reading this? Because we were studying Exodus and how the people were complaining and saying, we don't have anything to drink. And all the ideas about bread and the importance of bread, and God provided them things to eat. And they were saying, we don't have any water. Where's the water going to come from? And so then God provided them with water. And then we started talking about Jesus. And when we got to this section and we were reading these words, you could see in all of us, we started to feel the Holy Spirit working, and we started to be reminded of what's important in life. If you want life, you need Jesus. Right. If you're thirsty, right, you can find the kind of water that is going to help you for the rest of your life into eternity. He is this wellspring of water that we just sang about. Right. So I got to ask you the question: are you thirsty? Are you thirsty today? What do you thirst after in life? I just want to offer up Jesus to you and say, Jesus is what you need. This woman was probably very, very surprised. I know she was surprised that Jesus spoke to her. She wasn't used to meeting anybody like him. Just look at what he said to her. You know, I mean, pretty amazing things. But that's the kind of, I believe that that's what God does. He engages us in things. He doesn't let her off, you know. You're right, you don't have any husbands. You had five husbands, and the one that you have now is not your own husband. It's not your husband. You know, these are not light words to be reading and things like that, but they're engaging words. They're engaging words. He is not just simply saying, get me a drink of water, woman. He's offering this woman himself. And he's also offering her salvation for the people that she knows. In fact, she goes and she tells people that she knows about him. And you know what she said to him? There's this guy that I met at the well, and he told me everything I ever did. And that's the kind of feeling that I had when I was encountered with Christ this week. I was talking with, and I was face to face with someone who knew everything that I ever did. But the sense that I had was not one of not wanting him. It was one of welcoming him because he knew everything that I ever did, and he knew exactly what I needed. And there's great, great truth in this whole thing here. And I believe that God uses all of these things going on in our lives. And I want to tell you today, there are things that are going on in each one of our lives, but we need to be aware of them. We need to pay attention to them. We need to be more aware of them, that God is at work in our lives, that there are things like these secrets, like a beautiful plant, like beautiful music that we listen to, inspiring music, right? A friend who shows compassion and grace in a moment where we fear rejection. That Christ is there. And I would dare say that he's in everything. Not just those moments. He's in every part of our lives. Can you imagine these words? Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." She met Jesus Christ. She was talking to the Son of God. And later when she went, she told the other people about Jesus. They said, "You know what? We believe you." And then they met Jesus themselves. Later in the chapter, it talks about how they met Jesus himself. And then they said, "You know what? We believe even more now. We believed you when you told us, but now we've seen and we've talked to him ourselves, and now we know that it's the truth, that we have met the Savior of the world." So what is our attitude? What is our attitude about this? I have to ask you, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you know him as the Christ, the one who came to die for your sins, the one who came so that you wouldn't have to suffer for your sins and die? Do you know him as this God who was sent by his Father in heaven and died for our sins because of the Father's great love for you? Do you know what to tell someone when you're sent out to tell people about the gospel? From your own experience or from what you've heard? God wants you to come to him today. And he wants you to know that you can find him speaking to you even in rock songs that are written and you hear all the time on your iPods. I want to talk to you about one last thing, and then I'll stop. And this is a little bit close to home, and I'm not sure how I'm going to say this. And if it comes out all wrong, whatever. But I want to come back to my friend who showed me an act of kindness. I realized that these things that were happening in my life this week were happening to bring me to a point of better understanding myself, and I really believe that's what God wants each of us to do, is to learn from God what he has to say to us personally, so that we can really honestly tell people what God has done for us and that they'll believe in him. But what happened was that I started to think about, like I said, that he had shown me this understanding and this act of grace. And I really started to think about it in this way. Very often, we get into things in our lives where we expect bad things. And maybe that's tied in with things that we've gone through in our earlier lives. Perhaps it comes from people who have yelled at us for making mistakes, or who have thought that we're not good enough. Perhaps you can relate to that, I don't know. Perhaps we've had some bad experience in life where we're afraid of opening our mouths or making a false move. We've recently heard of many people who have had nervous breakdowns because the pressure of work has gotten to them, and a lot of times the pressure at work translates into someone being mean to them, pushing down on them and making them feel like they're not worth anything. There's all kinds of reasons that we become what we are. But when Jesus comes to us and says, I know everything that you have done, I believe his intention is to help us. And his reason for coming to us is not to remind us of all the faults that we've done, that we have, all the mistakes that we've made, all of the sin that is just so terrible and that we could never be forgiven for. He comes to us and he says, I love you. And your sin and the things that you have committed separated us, but my death on the cross and my resurrection have made it possible for you to be healed of all of the things that you have done, of all of the things that people may have told you about yourself. I'm coming and I'm telling you right now, and I'm setting this down for you to understand very clearly that it is of no importance to me what other people say about you, because I love you. And I want you to be freed from all the things that make you do things that you can't understand sometimes. Because even in those times, just like in this person that was writing from Hong Kong, God was at work in their life. Even in the times when they felt far away from him and they were making fun of worship songs and feeling mad at God, he was at work in that. And he wanted them to have victory in that. And he wanted them to become vessels for his goodness and for his mercy and for his gospel. And if we are going to understand that, then we are going to have to come to him. And we're going to have to fellowship with Christ. And there is nothing greater in the world than that. Because there's no one greater in the world than Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit working this week to show me that the rest of my life doesn't need to be spent in thinking that I'm a failure, that I have done mistakes that cannot be forgiven. And I want to pray, Father, for anyone who is here today who finds that they do or say things that come out in a certain way because of things that have happened in their life that have hurt them, be it people or circumstances or whatever. But please, Lord, help us today to be healed through the cross, through the blood of Christ, to embrace you, Father, as our friend and our Savior. And Lord, fill us with your grace so that we can let you speak for us. In the times when we fear what is going to come out of our mouths, may we ask you, Lord, to speak for us, to know that we can depend on you because we have a friend in Jesus. We have someone who cares about us, is looking out for us, doesn't want us to feel fear when we live, but that we have a sense of victory, that we can become what we can only become through Christ. And I just thank you, Father, for the surprises that you give to us that remind us of your presence that come in all kinds of shapes and forms and people and things, that you use all of these things to let us know just how wonderful you are. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.